Hi, Chairman. Just to clarify first. Yeah, I do, don't I?
It seems for midgets.
There we go. That's better. Was Perennial the institution involved in the GPT situation? I just want to clarify before I ask my question.
Now, if it's a tough question, the answer is no. If it's an easy question, the answer is yes.
All right, I assume that's a yes. It was an unusual situation. I think my recollection is Perennial backed the GPT joint venture with Babcock and Brown, which turned out to be a disaster. Obviously, Perennial was one of the largest investors. Then when it all went pear-shaped and they did a desperate $1.6 billion capital raising, Perennial was in the press threatening to call an EGM, sack the board, outraged, up in arms. Now, of course, in the last 20 years, there's never been an institution in Australia that has ever called an EGM, ever. It just doesn't happen. We don't have an active institutional base like that. I'm not even aware of an institution that's ever put up a resolution at an AGM. So to read Perennial was thinking about calling an EGM to sack a board was a revolution in terms of institutional activism in Australia. So, and then Perennial's come around and done a deal with Stockland where we've delivered our stock to Stockland, and now Stockland might come out and sack the GPT board, I don't know. But can you take us through this amazing situation? Clearly we've obviously dropped a lot of money on behalf of our clients. In a situation like that, would the board have to approve something like that? You know, your fund manager's sacking an entire board of a major public company. And can you tell us a bit about how it goes about its voting? Like, this is a good thing that institutions are flexing their muscles a bit. But as a policy at a board level, do you have a policy of always voting your stock and being active? And can you just explain your version of what happened with this whole amazing GPT Perennial situation? Thanks.
Again, this is probably one for me, and the answer requires a slightly longer answer. IWF owns 100% of Perennial Investment Partners Limited, and we acquired the missing 20% a little over 2 years ago, and actually the final payment of that is due in July 2009, based on the results for Perennial Investment Partners, or PIPL as we call it, in the period to the 30th of June 2009. And it's actually, the performance has been poor, and therefore the expectation of making an additional payment is less, which is the profit write-back that Ian was talking about previously. So we own 100% of Perennial Investment Partners. Perennial Investment Partners does three things. It provides sales services to a group of fund managers, it provides operational services to a group of fund management businesses, and it invests in those funds management businesses. So the funds management businesses that it invests in and provides sales services to and provides operational services to is Perennial Value, Perennial Growth, Perennial Real Estate, and so on. Each of those fund managers, though, we only own part of the shares in, and the rest of the shares are owned by the individual investment managers or the fund managers. And it's one of those businesses that we're a shareholder in that is taking the actions that Stephen Mayne has just talked about on behalf of the investors in the fund. So it's a fund manager and it's managing money on behalf of other people, and it takes that responsibility seriously. And yes, it does do things exactly as Stephen describes. If it feels that something has happened that's inappropriate on behalf of its investors, it will do things. And so it's that fund manager acting on behalf of the investors that is doing the things that Stephen has described. Now, we're a large shareholder in each of those entities, so we're always informed of significant matters. So that we are informed of the sorts of things that Stephen has talked about there. In terms of what the policy on those sort of issues are, I've talked a little bit about voting already. Voting for some of these funds managers is complicated because of things like shorting, but certainly the fund managers do take their responsibility, the responsibility that arises from their capacity to vote, seriously. And they do address all these issues when they come around actively.